This is Wade Bransky with the Chief Organizer's Report. It's hard to believe that any of us want to talk about taxes, but it's hard to avoid the discussion, since next to the act of declaring war, they are one of the most powerful forces that governments exert over their citizens. You may think I'm going there because of all the discussion about how to fund the various infrastructure bills in Congress right now. And yes, that's part of it, but not all of it. What particularly caught me short was reckoning with the Chinese government and its leadership wrestling with controversy over imposing a property tax. Reportedly, Xi, the Chinese leader, has been pushing a property tax there and is getting rare pushback from other members of the government body of the country and the party. In their recent Congress, he won support for a 5-year trial in 10 cities after originally proposing 20 cities. Taxes are even an issue under communism, it seems, but more likely they are an issue in China because of communism. The party has made property ownership by individuals one of the great reforms that under their leadership, so that 90% of urban Chinese families now own their own homes. According to official data, and about 10% of the households own at least 3 properties. Meanwhile, property and related industries account for nearly 1/3 of the country's economic output. Supposedly, the Chinese were moving on property tax in this way because they're trying to both curtail real estate speculation and also use the tax to narrow their own inequality gap and distribute income more evenly. I'm scratching my head, though, because property taxes are a regressive tax, not a progressive one. So I'm having trouble understanding how imposing such a tax would redistribute wealth unless it's waived for such special categories and income, or unless it's trying to move income from urban areas to rural areas. I'm not sure. Regressive taxes are those that hit people squarely, regardless of income and ability to pay. Sales taxes are another example, since they're required on every purchase, and those with more money can shoulder them more easily. The regressive nature of property taxes helps fuel gentrification, particularly as fixed-income individuals and lower-income individuals have to pay based on comparable rates from sales in their community that drive up assessments and therefore taxes, regardless of income. Our social enterprise coffeehouse is a case study in the fast gentrifying area of Faubourg St. John along Gentilly Ridge in New Orleans. When we bought it 11 years ago, taxes were $2,000 per year. Steep, but something we could handle so that we could move 5% of the gross to support community organizing. Within a couple of years, the taxes had gone to $10,000, diverting that money from organizing. You can only charge so much for a cup of coffee when you're competing with the big and little chains. Income taxes are the most progressive, although wealth taxes are now competing for that title. Of course, that assumes the rich actually pay income taxes, which we're finding out is not the case in the USA. Even West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin seems now to support a tax on billionaires to help pay for the stimulus. Secretary of the Treasury Janet Yellen has made great progress in getting countries around the world to agree to a minimum 5% corporate income tax, which would be huge in blocking some of the tax havens and filling some loopholes. Governments use taxes for myriad reasons, but as tax havens, the one thing we want and have a right to expect is that someone, everyone, will share the same burdens for our common good and public benefits. Progressive taxation policies do that, while regressive ones usually do not. China is confusing me, as is some of the wrangling from Democratic senators trying to save money for corporate and wealthy donors. We ought to at least agree on making taxes progressive if we can't agree on anything else. This is Wade Bransky. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.